This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All Marine Radio continues here on a Monday, and if you would all pay attention to things not only military in the news, but things in the national news, nobody has to tell you about the housing issues that have been some of the top stories across the nation in the last month. And I got an email or a message from Alex Hollings the other day, and he said, "Hey, I want you to meet a woman who's involved in this issue that I met, and she's got her shit together." So I said, "Well, yeah, I'd love to." So joining us is Lee Tuttle. Lee, first of all, welcome to All Marine Radio. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We need to find out about you so we can decide if we're going to believe you or not. All right? Exactly. So, born and raised where?
Born and raised. So, I was born in Rochester, New York. Raised kind of in Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia, in a town called Westchester, Pennsylvania, suburb of Philadelphia. I then went to college at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia.
VCU?
VCU, that's right. Not a lot of people know it, but it is actually the largest public school in Virginia. More students there than Tech.
You know what? I love those kind of little nuanced things that people know about wherever they went to school or wherever they grew up in. Right? Grand Forks, North Dakota.
There's my trivia for the day.
Home of cream of wheat. What?
Oh my God.
Exactly. They do that stuff. So anyway.
Well, listen.
What did you what did you major in college?
I was a history major with a minor in business.
So what would you do as a major like that? You're like a storytelling person. That's what history is.
I wanted to go to law school, and then I met a man in the military.
So let's talk about that. So you're in college and you meet your husband?
Well, so actually I've known him kind of forever. So our parents were stationed together in Europe.
Wait. And, how do you get stationed as a civilian?
No, my father was a second year born.
Who?
And my husband's father was SF. And they were over in Germany together.
Did you know this?
Our family.
Wait, you didn't even say anything. I just, like, rolled army on you with who, and you didn't even say, "Well done there, devil dog."
Oh.
See, you didn't realize I was speaking army right then when I said who?
Listen, my husband, like, I don't know. We're not regular army, right?
Oh, you're not? Regular.
We're a bit special.
You're special people. Oh, so you're an army girl.
I am.
So let's talk about that. So what's the coolest place that you spent time in growing up?
Well, my father was in the reserves when I was growing up. By the time that, I can remember army life with him, he was in the reserves. But long story short is that our family still stayed in touch, and I have a picture with my husband. He's 12 and I'm 8, and it's like our first time meeting. And
Did you know?
All I remember is like really just trying to like pick on him and annoy the hell out of him in those days. And then we kind of lost touch, and I shockingly went the ROTC route for college.
You did?
I did. I was in the nursing program at VCU, which is extremely competitive to get into, and I had a full ROTC scholarship. Decided nursing was not for me, and I did not want to pursue the military without being a nurse. And So with that experience, I connected with my husband and, you know, got his advice through all of that. So we were in touch. This is where the stories kind of, you know, differ. His version is a bit different than mine. He came back from Iraq and he was up in D.C. staying with his parents. I was in Richmond at school.
Mm-hmm.
And he claims that I sent him a message like, hey, why don't you come down and take me to dinner?
And your version sounds like?
My version is, he sent me a message, hey, I'm bored of my parents. Can you set me up with one of your sorority sisters?
What?
And he came down. We had a great time, and it was just, that was it.
Well, you might want to reconcile that story. Those differences are a little bit more than the rest of us are comfortable with. So then you come down, and then the rest is history.
The rest is history.
All right, so you become an Army wife when?
2012.
So you guys have children?
We have two kids. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Okay.
And we got married, and it was kind of fun. It was like our wedding was the best party ever, and it was almost a send-off, too, because then right from there we went to Okinawa for 3 years.
And he's, not that it's significant, but he's a Green Beret guy, right?
He is, yep.
All right. I knew the Green Beret song when I was a kid, just so you know.
Like it's a good song.
Yeah, it is a good song. All right, so how does this issue of just the, honestly, I mean, to watch these hearings and to read the stuff in the Reuters series of articles that are coming out, it's, you know, we were talking before we came on. It's almost as if you're watching this thinking, this can't be true. This stuff cannot be true. We did not do this, and it's not this screwed up. And the truth is, you're right. It's not that screwed up. It's far, far more screwed up than anybody thinks it is. And so what's your introduction to this in terms of getting involved with this issue?
So when we came back from Okinawa, as you know, you're moving back to the States from overseas. So you don't have the time or the opportunity to go look for housing. So we were going to Fort Polk, Louisiana, the worst base that any Army family can go to. No one ever wants to hear going to Fort Polk. So that in itself was hard. We are leaving a beautiful tropical island to go to the central area of Louisiana. And so we move on post. And immediately when I walk into that home, I start crying. And my husband will attest to this. I just broke down in tears. I walked in. The carpet was just matted, disgusting, damp. It smelled like a wet dog. It was horrible. Horrible. So we set up there, we're getting, you know, kind of acquainted. I'm pregnant, and within 2 weeks, my son is in the doctor for respiratory issues. Happy, thriving child in Okinawa. And this kid just completely changed. Completely changed. They said, well, it's probably allergies. You're in a new environment. Like, let's put on some Zyrtec. Let's see how it goes. All right, let's do it. Nothing changes. I switch over to TRICARE Select so I can pick my own providers. Within the time of us being there, he had bronchitis, ER visits for respiratory issues, his tonsil out and adenoids out. And by the time he left, he was on a nebulizer, a respiratory inhaler, and diagnosed with asthma. My daughter, by the time we left, she was 7 months. She had ER visits for respiratory issues. She was on the nebulizer. My husband was on an inhaler because he had a horrible, horrible cough from living in a home that was infested with mold.
So at what point does it become a home?
I never felt like that was my house. My in-laws live in Houston, so thankfully we would go over there. We would drive the 3 hours to Houston, and my husband, he would, you know, go kind of TDY to train and throughout Louisiana.
Right.
And if he had a hotel room and it was driving distance, I would pack the kids up. We would go stay in that hotel room. And, you know, obviously we wouldn't see my husband because he'd be out working, but I would take them if there was a children's museum. Like, anything that we could do in that area, we went and did, primarily to get away from that house, because everyone was exceptionally more healthy when we were not sleeping and living in that house.
So did they ever come out to test the house? Did you call them? How do you discover that it's not just the unsightly nature of the house, that it is what's growing inside that house?
So when all these issues were going on, I put in complaints about it, and I put in what they call work orders, right?
Right.
So they came out and looked and said, oh, well, you know, we'll stretch your carpet out. We'll put this enzyme down to make it smell better. It could be from your dog, you know, just placating.
Right.
Eventually, I had my husband go up into the air ducts, unscrew the air ducts, and I was just appalled at what I saw. Visible mold spores all over the place. So at that point, they come out, they send someone who is going to clean out my, you know, air ducts.
Right.
This guy comes out with a duct-taped HEPA vacuum and places down some tarps across my dining room table, my son's bed, and essentially just vacuums it out and wipes them down, you know, unscrews the air duct vents, you know, washes them with soap and water, puts them back.
Acting like it's dust, essentially.
Right. Yeah, that's what they were telling me. And within 3 weeks, it's all back. And at this point, I'm starting to get pissed. So I pull back the carpet that's already coming undone because it's disgusting and probably hadn't been replaced for years on my first level. And what do I find? Black mold growing on the foundation of that house. So at that point, I call it. I say, you need to really do something about this. So they send someone out, they do an air quality test, and it's horrible results. Horrible. I have Stachybotrys in my house. I have Aspergillus penicillin, all the bad ones that you don't want to see. And it was just really, it was devastating. You just know that I was living in a house that had all this, and I have a, you know, 2.5-year-old who's super sick and an infant in there. And at that point, they said, okay, well, we'll replace your carpets. So you replaced the carpet on my first floor. And are all the while saying, well, it could have been because you had fresh flowers. You used cooking spray. Like, just running the gamut of, well, how this is my fault. We're in Louisiana. It's damp. That's how it's going to be. Right? And when they replaced the carpets, they sent someone out to give me another test. These test results come back shockingly better. So, okay, great. Problem solved. I do a little more digging, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing, oh, wow, the date that they took this test is a day before the sample was received at a lab. The chain of custody had been broken on the sample. So I don't know. They had some BS excuse, but I would say that they gave me a fraudulent result on that.
So you have mold growing in the ventilation system of the house. You find black mold underneath your carpet. I hope you don't mind stupid questions. Why it would seem to me that as soon as black mold is identified, giving its health hazards, the next thing that happens is that you, at their expense, you either move to another home or you move out into a hotel, but you vacate those premises. That didn't happen?
No. Well, they would never admit that it was mold, even after getting that test result with high levels of mold in my home. Never admitted it. Oh, well, it could be, well, maybe you have, she started, this housing manager said, maybe you have, mole, or I mean, like, you know, the stuff that grows on bread. You know, maybe you had, like, some bread that had been, you know, should have been thrown out in your house that day. Sorry, Dad.
I don't know. So you stay in the house.
Well, let me talk about this carpet issue a little bit more. So when they are replacing this carpet, it's this nun, you know, young, like 19-year-old kid, and they're a, you know, third-party contractor, and he pulls it all back, and I'm seeing even more mold. And I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. I was like, that's mold. And he's like, well, I can't say it, but yeah, it is.
What do you mean I can't say it? He couldn't say it?
That's their MO across the board for all of these companies. They will never admit it. They will never admit that it's mold, ever. And so then we're seeing, so my carpet has mold on it, my carpet padding has mold on it. And then he starts to tell me that they're only replacing the carpet, not the padding. I said, stop.
Anybody who knows nothing about carpet knows.
Yes, ma'am, I've never experienced this before, but this is what they want to do. That's what they wanted to do. So I had to fight them tooth and nail that day to get them to replace both. Isn't that insane?
No, yeah, no, honestly, it's the story you're telling, it's like, there's got to be another explanation because this can't be true. Because it's so simple what the right thing to do is. So why would anybody who finds this kind of damage in a home, first of all, why would the whole thing not be ripped out? Why are we not testing inside the walls and the rest of the structure for anything else, right? Why aren't we making this right? So, I mean, I guess that's the first response. And then to hear, you know, they're going to do it on the cheap, which is they're only going to put a patch over it, which is we're on top of this mold. We're going to throw another piece of carpet, because anybody who knows nothing about carpet knows that if there's mold in the carpet, there's mold in the carpet pad.
And yeah, so, and it was visible.
Okay, so this is your introduction, right?
Okay, let me just say this too. When I was when we pulled back this carpet,
right?
There was visible. It looked like, you know, remnants of like plumbing that had been covered up on the foundation of my home. I couldn't understand that, and come to find out that this house that they say, oh, it's this neighborhood they lived in, they call it New Dogwood. It's the new homes in Fort Polk. Well, come to find out via Reuters, my house was just a cheap remodel of a house that stood there in 1980.
Awesome. So when they ripped them either down to the studs or maybe down to the foundation, and they rebuilt on the same slab.
Yep.
Perfect. So, all right. So you have this experience. When do you begin to hear, or now that you're sensitized to the issue, when do you start seeing more of it? How does this stuff continue to cross your path?
So I, you know, heard chatter of it throughout Fort Polk.
Right.
My husband came home one day and said, hey, I have the opportunity to leave early from here. It will get me off my cycle. As you know, that's hard for your career. We left Fort Polk in end of February. So not PCS season or when they do change of commands, right?
Right.
So we left then because we were so fed up in our hand. Like we were hitting these brick walls with this housing company, and Fort Polk, there's not many options, right? There's not many options to go move off base, and not to mention that'd be a huge expense. I have a newborn, like I'm not doing it. So we leave early, and we get to California, and I'm sharing my story, and my friend adds me to this Facebook group. And I'm realizing that, wow, as much as Fort Polk sucks, it's not an isolated incident. And these housing issues are across the board, CONUS and OCONUS. And it was quite, I mean, it was just enlightening for me to see, and also validating to see that I'm not the only one. My family is not the only one that's going through this, and that, you know, there's countless families who have been affected by these companies.
So you get added to this Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then, and this is not a new Facebook group. This Facebook group has been in existence, I'm thinking, for a while, yes?
Yep.
All right. And so in talking to those women, what did you learn about the issue?
That it is just a pervasive issue across every installation and every branch, from mold to lead paint to asbestos to, you know, rat infestations. It's insane. It's insane the stuff that these families put up with.
Okay.
Or have to put up with.
All right, so let me ask another stupid question. So you begin to go through this, and you don't get any help from the housing office.
Correct.
What recourse do you have on base? Who can you go see to ask for help?
I don't know. I literally did not know. So my understanding is that this is a private company. Why am I going to bother my husband's boss about this house that a private company owns? And also, I came to learn via the Facebook group that there are housing liaisons. Well, I never met this housing liaison, nor was I ever put in contact with her when I was complaining about mold in my house or a sinkhole in my front yard. Yeah, because that happened too. And I'm coming to learn, the more research I do, that these housing liaisons may be incentivized by these private companies. And they all are in these private companies' offices. So if I go in to speak with a housing liaison and their office is in Corpius's, you know, neighborhood office or Lincoln's neighborhood office, that says to me, you don't work to help me. You work for Corpius.
Right.
Right? And that is what we're finding, that, you know, basically that was the assumption via everyone. Everyone thought that these people worked for these private companies.
So where do these housing liaison people come from? Do they come from the DOD and work with these companies that have housing contracts? Do they come from the base? So I guess my question is, what is the base's role? Does the base commander have a role in this or not?
So the base commander does have a role. The base commander, now we're learning, could have pulled incentives to these companies, quarterly incentives. And from the hearing on the 14th, that has never happened across the board. Yeah.
So the base commander, there are incentives that the company gets, and the base commander mm-hmm. has a role in that. But
the base commander says yes or no.
To the incentive.
Right. But they're based on metrics that this company submits, right? So one of them is customer satisfaction. How do they get this satisfaction? Well, we send out surveys. Well, guess what? When I live in Corpius, I never got a survey. Why do you think that is? Because I wouldn't have filled it out in their favor.
Because they knew.
Yeah. And another one is the promptness. I believe it's the promptness of, you know, maintenance. Well, maintenance can, I can put in a work order for anything, and maintenance can come in, a, you know, 2 hours, close it out, and say, well, I'll be back tomorrow to actually, you know, maybe fix this for you.
Task and Purpose wrote an article, I want to say, about a month ago when this first started, and it was a survey. Let's see. And it's quoted in the Reuters report, and the survey is overwhelmingly negative.
Right.
So maybe that's why, they didn't want to do the survey.
Well, of course. The worst. They know. They know exactly what they're doing.
90% of the tenants polled would recommend privatizing military housing. Right? 55% had a negative view. 16% of respondents had a positive view of their base housing. 55% had a negative one. Many families reported unsafe conditions, including lead-based paint, rampant mold, exposed asbestos. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is like Stone Age stuff. That's what's stunning about the whole thing. So, my guest is Lee Tuttle. Her husband is an officer in the United States Army. And she is kind of outlining how she's come to this issue. Let me ask a few more basic questions, Lee. Are you part of a group, or how does this thing move forward?
So you have to think that we all are spouses that are meeting virtually across the country. So that is something that, you know, we are in discussion of right now. And I mean, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I feel like I've been playing, you know, this detective right now and finding these articles, finding these, you know, huge solar contracts that these companies are coming up with. It's insane. Finding articles from 2008 that are outlining the fraudulent behavior of these companies.
So from 10 years ago, and again, anybody who's lived on base knows how long this stuff has been going on. Anybody who's been associated with the military has heard these stories. But I don't think anybody... Right. So you hear them anecdotally, and then somebody moves, and then you're on to something else. And
right.
And honestly, that's part of why they can continue to do this, because of the turnover rate. Well, you're here,
yep.
And they say they'll fix it, and then now you're into the second year, and whatnot. So when you say we're meeting virtually, you mean literally virtually in terms of on the internet and
creating
things like that. Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. Social media is their worst nightmare, because I now can contact probably the one, I can find that woman that lives in my home now and say, hey, here are the scores from, you know, the mold test in my home. I'm talking with a girl who lives on Bowling Air Force Base up in the D.C. area, had this horrible, horrible rat infestation in her home. Horrible. And she comes to find out that the previous tenant had been complaining about it as well and had to move out due to it. So what is going on here? They know these problems, but they're covering it up for unassuming tenants. Their MO is, I got this 50-year contract. 50-year contract where I have guaranteed profit plus incentives. And I know that my, tenant base, they're military, so they're already under all this stress, deployment, yada yada. You're here for, what do you say, 2 to 3 years, usually,
mm-hmm.
typically.
Mm-hmm.
I can make them complain, give them every, runaround that they have until they throw up their arms and say, ugh, I only have, a year left. I only have 6 months left. Well, they leave, put a fresh coat of paint on, maybe replace some drywall. There you go. Next. Family moves in.
So you've been living this since 2012.
I've been living as a military spouse since 2012, correct.
And then you went to Polk in 2015?
Correct.
Okay. So you watched, I assume you've read the Reuters, I know you've read the Reuters articles,
mm-hmm.
and you've watched the hearings that were held on February 14th and March 7th. Give me your reaction to what's come out of those hearings. Let's start with the one on February 14th. When you think about that hearing, for people that have lived what you've lived through, that hearing must have been a long time in coming. Finally, it's going to happen in public in a big way, which to me, I've said since I started following this issue, it's disgusting that it would take military spouses going on TV to embarrass the Department of Defense so that they begin to act on this, because these complaints have been around for so long and they just ignored them. and it's disgusting. So you're sitting there watching it at somebody who's, and I haven't lived it like you have. So, and what was your reaction to the hearing on February 14th?
So it was validating in the sense that it was happening, right? But then I'm watching it, and there are only a few senators I felt like were actually prepared to, you know, question the DOD that was sitting there and to question these CEOs that were sitting there. A lot of them just said, okay, are you going to do better? Go down the line. Let's hear a yes or no. That happened during that hearing. And that was disappointing to me. Extremely disappointing. When I'm here every night fighting with my kid to get him to take his inhaler, to get him to take his meds, and he had asked me, why am I sick? Is there going to be a time they're not sick? I'm sorry, am I kidding? Like, this makes me really emotional.
Right. So, on balance, out of that first hearing, what was the best thing that came out of the hearing?
I think for me, the best thing that came out was that it was a bit of a public shaming for these CEOs and these DOD officials, right? But I, you know, you heard that these companies haven't been forthright in giving these contracts, nor their financial, you know, what they're getting for profits, which they don't have to because they're private companies, right? They're privately held companies. But these contracts are what we need to see. Non-redacted contracts. Senators have been calling for these. Congressmen have been calling for these. What we found out yesterday is that they haven't come up yet. And I have a feeling that perhaps the DOD will be in some hot water if they come out.
Hot water about what?
I think that it'll outline, you know, who really was accountable, who is culpable in all this.
Which means they would be open to lawsuits. But, I mean, you can't, I mean, at some point, I mean, those contracts are going to get given up. And so again, just for everybody's knowledge, so senators are asking to see these contracts, and they still haven't been given the contracts?
Correct. So, Senator Feinstein publicly sent out letters. Senator Warren did. I believe Blumenthal did. Lots have gotten them.
And so the what the contract would ultimately shine light on is who is responsible for the repair and how oversight is supposed to be done, and nobody's seen one of those contracts.
No.
Okay.
No. Nope. And from what my understanding is, what, you know, you got to think though too. This is just the kind of, you know, the grapevine that, you know, we have. So right now the branch, each branch is kind of, you know, putting, I would say they are placating, right? So these memorandums have come down. Memorandum for the Army is that every home needs to be inspected. Every base home needs to be inspected. And if the resident does not feel comfortable letting command in, then they can do this interview that says, do you have any, you know, problems, right?
Right. Okay.
So that's what they're doing. Now we're learning. I'm learning that these garrisons are the ones who are in charge of these contracts, who helped negotiate these contracts. So maybe Garrison does have a huge part of this.
What does Garrison mean?
So Army, that would be, you know, the command.
The base commander. Got it.
Right.
Okay. All right, so that the base commander has some control over the contract, but again, nobody's seen the contract, so that still hasn't been determined. Yes.
Correct, and also that every installation has its own contract. That seems a bit crazy to me.
Uh I'm writing. Okay, let me ask you another stupid question. So that's the first hearing. The one that took place yesterday, as you watch that hearing, now there's been three weeks between hearings, right? This has percolated around in the news. It certainly has percolated around in military circles. and the DOD, as you said, they had their noses rubbed in it. They were humiliated on national TV by a series of spouses that got up and told horrific, not only horrific stories about where they lived, but when they brought it to people's attention, what happened. So in the space of 3 weeks, tell me about the hearing yesterday and your thoughts watching it.
So yesterday I was highly disappointed. I was disappointed to hear that no one's gotten a contract, as I said. I was disappointed to hear a senator ask who is in charge of making sure that these homes are up to code. None of these secretaries knew. None. Well, that's something we need to look into. Yeah, you think? You think that these homes that don't have smoke alarms, that have lead paint chipping, that have mold growing on the ceiling, like, it's just outrageous to me. I spoke with a woman here at JBLM who is having, she doesn't have heat in her house. She said the last time she's on that sticker on the HVAC system, last time that it was serviced was 2003.
JBLM means what?
Joint Base Lewis McChord up in Washington State. That's where we are currently.
Okay. All right. How do you live without heat?
Well, so this is the thing, right? So, you know, she calls me. We get in touch. She's like, I don't know what to do. I have a 7-year-old baby. Command has been aware. I called in this work order she called it in around 4. By the time we got in touch, it was 9 p.m. So not only does she not have heat, she doesn't have hot water either. And she has a baby.
Right.
Let's keep that in mind, a 7-month-old baby. So my husband are like, okay, we'll get chain of command, contact them. They come. They say, okay, well, we're going to, you know, push this up to housing. Housing finally comes. Well, we don't have, like, the part that you need. Here's some space heaters. Wrong answer. That's a huge safety hazard. Do you think that these people are going to be able to sleep in their house with a little baby with some space heaters going? That sounds like a disaster. So we get on the phone to call Lincoln Military Housing's, you know, 24-hour line.
Right.
Let me tell you, that's a freaking disaster. Because these people, they tell me, well, I don't work for Lincoln Military Housing. And then here's what I said. Yes, you do actually work for them. Because you're answering their phone calls. So they must have a contract with you. So I don't care what you need to do, but these people are in a house with no heat, and it's literally snowing outside. So something needs to be done. And they get moved into a temporary housing. She's still in that house. She's still in the temp house. And she has black mold in that temp house. And they went in there. She contacted me yesterday. They went in there with bleach to clean mold up. This is what people are dealing with. So, I don't even know what to say. Like, right? You know, it's great. Chain of command is, you know, becoming aware. I love that. But what does that really mean? I'm not too sure.
All right. So as we step back, and it sounds like it's hard because there's like so many issues in all this.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, there are.
So when you look at it, Lee, what is the number one issue that has to be sorted out here?
I think that these companies should not be getting guaranteed profit. I think there needs to be quality control put into place. And that these contracts can be competitive. If you want to do private housing, great. Let's make incentives. Let's not make them 50 years.
Let me ask you this. So, well, your earlier point is nobody's seen the contract, so nobody knows how accountability is supposed to work. what the role of the base commander is, that it's like this thing has been outsourced and that the military has just washed its hands. The people that run the contract, they don't particularly, aren't particularly, I'm being kind when I say aren't particularly responsive to the complaints of people living in their homes. I mean, that's being kind to them. And so is that the bottom line is the unethical conduct of these companies that have these quote unquote private contracts with bases / the Department of Defense, and they're unsupervised.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I should be able to, if I have someone to come look an electrical issue, I should have an electrician, correct?
One would think, yeah. If you were a normal human being, that's what would happen.
Well, that doesn't happen. That's not what's happening.
So what do they do? Send their handyman out? Like,
they stand at it. Yeah, it's essentially a handyman. And you know what I also want to say is that seeing all these mold, quote-unquote, remediations are taking place by their employees, those poor employees, those poor maintenance workers, I imagine down the line are going to have some horrible health issues from dealing with the things that they've been dealing with, like not wearing masks, not being protected from lead paint, asbestos, mold. Like, they're not really harming us. Like, their employees are going to be suffering if they're not already. But guess what? We'll never know, because from what I've seen, at least in Corbius/Cistern's case, is that the maintenance workers sign non-disclosure agreements.
So let's talk about that. So I've seen, where does the non-disclosure, who's sending out a non-disclosure agreement, and what is a non-disclosure agreement to do what?
To not talk about their business practices. And in this hearing, going back to this hearing, one of the things that I was disappointed in was that the secretary said they've only heard a few instances of people being offered NDAs for some sort of financial restitution. That's never enough, right? So plenty of people have been walking away from those. But in this NDA, it says you promise not to, speak badly about our company on any social media, any conversations, anything.
So is that given to somebody when they enter into some kind of dispute with the company, or is it given to them when they move into their house? Where do these things come from? And I for the life of me, like, why,
yeah,
as a member of the United,
yeah,
States Armed Forces, would I sign a non-disclosure agreement with the base housing company? Like, so when are these being given to people?
They are being given when people go in with complaints and state that I would like to speak with an attorney. I'm going to, seek legal recourse. And they are given these statements that say, okay, well, you need to have one. So I asked, today, knowing that I was going to come on here, and I asked in this group that I'm in, and I said, does anyone have one of these that would be willing to share their story? And here's a woman who sent me one. She said, we pretty much had a sit-down meeting after we moved out with Lincoln, my husband's command, and the director of military housing. During this meeting, I gave the director a binder with all of my evidence, and he asked if he could hold on to it because there was so much there. So fast forward like a month, and my husband was on leave because we just bought a house in Colorado. My husband gets a call from his staff sergeant saying that we have to sign an NDA by the end of the day, and Lincoln will drop our move-out charges. Around the same time, the journalist working met with Philip Tizianis told him that we were in contact and wanted to give them a chance to make things right because she knew the story really didn't help us. So basically, here's this email from Lincoln, and it talks about these charges that they were given for their walkthrough when they were moving out, and it's substantial. And since she mentioned legal, they brought it down and said, okay, well, here's your condition is that you can't talk about our company to anyone. And not only was that given by Lincoln, she said that it was delivered to her by a year Marine guy. She says a gunny brought that to them. A gunnery sergeant, right? Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, very good. I'm impressed. This seems like every step of it seems so wrong. It's hard for me to conceive, like, that, and again, my point with all this and the thing that makes my head want to explode, it is that this stuff has been going on, you know, for, you know, over a decade, easily over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And the DOD has just ignored it.
And there have been IG reports. It's insane. It's insane to see, you know, 2014 reports about all of this, and nothing's been done. There's been journalists writing about this since 2008. Well, I mean, what do we do?
The Senator Blumenthal was talking about criminal charges against the holders of these contracts, because what they've done is they've irreparably damaged the health of dependents of military members, mm-hmm. and so far nobody's been held accountable. And they do it because they don't want to compromise their own profit margin. Right? The remedies should be the people that are doing the maintenance. They should. Their job is to take care of those homes and keep them in great condition. And so when we find this, the carpet gets ripped out, the padding gets ripped out, we call these guys in, we dry it out, we test, we validate the test, we make sure everything's good, we put it, you know, we put what needs to have happened in there, we test and validate again, and now, I mean, it's not hard, but what you're talking about, what you're describing almost is a nefarious criminal enterprise that seeks to exploit military dependents and military members because they have limited ability, right, to speak their mind because they are in a caste system. And everybody knows that the women who appeared on TV, right, their husbands' careers technically are at risk.
Absolutely. And, you think mine? It was a very, very hard decision for our family to speak with Reuters.
But if you can't tell the truth, right, like, what is the point? If you can't tell the truth and say, this is wrong, but we can't, you know, we can't talk about it? Like, what planet am I living on right now? And so how did it make you feel when you saw the service chiefs and the service secretaries up there giving their mea culpas and apologizing and talking about this Bill of Rights? And I might add, one of the rights that's not in the Bill of Rights is to be able to withhold your rent payment. That's not in the Bill of Rights. Right. So, yeah, we feel bad and we want to empower them, but we're not going to give them the power to pay their own rent. That they've got to mail in their rent check, or they've got to, you know, do a check to bank or an electronic transfer that they can stop. We're not going to go there. That's not one of the rights that was included. So, what did you feel when you saw that dog and pony show get rolled out before the Senate Armed Service Committee yesterday?
Well, I thought that was very interesting. It came out right, you know, a few hours before this hearing. So, I mean, I look at this thing and, you know, I'm hearing from the, you know, congressman's office that I'm working extensively with is that, well, this is not final. So, you know, don't be discouraged by it. But I may look at this and it just blows my mind. Yeah, rent payments made by a resident engaged in a dispute that is being heard by the neutral decision maker, so who will that be, is what I want to know, shall be segregated and not used by the property owner or property manager until the arbitrator's decision regarding the matter in dispute is made. Okay, guess what? We're all adults here. Let's act like adults, and I don't need to be sent. It should not be taken out of my husband's paycheck, point blank.
But you notice I wasn't put on the table.
Exactly. We're adults. Let's be treated as such. And I should be able to write my rent check monthly. I should be able to see that BAH come out.
That would change the entire equation, though. Right? That gives you,
great,
that empowers
great.
You.
I think that's, I mean, look at all right. these horrible issues that are coming up. There, I mean, this whole thing is, this is not going to be, you know, changed or resolved without sweeping changes. Like, you know, through, I mean, it's going to take literally an act of Congress, right? That's what we're seeing. So why not add that in there?
Good question. I mean, you, if you were living out in town, you make your rent payment.
Right, it's a private company, right? You went to a private company. It doesn't make sense to me. Why is a private company getting access to my husband's BAH like that?
Because that was the deal that was negotiated. That's part of, right? That's part
right.
of that's part of the profit equation. And I'd right. be curious as they continue these hearings, is somebody going to lay one of these contracts open in public to see how much profit this company's making on a I saw somebody posted a picture of somebody who's a president of a one of these companies, and he's got a house on, 100 acres of land. It's his gigantic house, and he's got one of these contracts. And I was like, wow.
You mean John Pisern? So he was my landlord, essentially. So that wasn't his house. I mean, that's not his primary residence. That's his Irish castle he bought for $4 million that he flew in basically a Bravo celebrity who does interior design for the Kardashians to decorate this house. It's blasted all over social media. And he has a private golf course, which, I mean, that's great. Guess what? My son, who has asthma, that's one of the sports that he loves because he doesn't need to use a rescue inhaler every 30 minutes during it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Reuters said that he will be, I mean, that's a $1 billion contract for him. $1 billion.
That's amazing. $1 billion in profit or $1 billion total?
Profit throughout those 50 years.
My guest is Lee Tuggle. She is a Army wife, and we're talking about the issues that have been so visible in hearings in front of the Senate Armed Service Committee, and so widely written about here since the 1st of January. So, Lee, first of all, you're going to come back, and we're going to continue this discussion, but where does this go next, and how can people help? So first question, where does this go next? What's the next thing for you guys?
So the next thing will be meeting with more lawmakers to help them to understand the scope of how big this is. But also there needs to be a public outrage in order to make that happen.
Okay.
So the problem, as a Marine, that there's a lot of, fear of being retaliated against. These
right.
families fear that they're speaking out, that these careers will be hindered because they're speaking out. And let's be serious, the ones with, the worst egregious cases are lower enlisted.
Right.
And they're scared. They don't know how to navigate this. No one does. We all know it's wrong. But what do we do? How do we convince these families that you need to speak up, because there are families out there currently suffering in homes? And it's not going to change until people take a stand, have their voices heard, and get media's attention.
Okay, so the next thing for you guys is to get continue to work with lawmakers, right?
Correct.
Senators and congressmen. To make sure that this thing continues to get drug out and this thing gets, one, explained, and then two, fixed. Okay, so what can people who listen to this do to help you guys? Contact our congressmen? Is there places is there web pages that we can join? Is there, what can we do?
Yeah, so there are web pages you can join, and I'm going to send those to you. And would you agree to post some on your Facebook?
I will agree to that.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you. Yes, I would also say you can add me on Facebook, Lee Tuttle, Twitter, Lee Tuttle. I post updates. I post what families are currently going through. And with that said, I would, I'm begging you to call your congressman, to call your senators, and ask this to be ask for these contracts to be made public. That's what we want right now. Because until those come out forthright, there's going to be, backpedaling and a lot of questioning. That's what needs to happen.
So ask for these housing contracts to be made public.
Correct.
Got it. Fine. So we need to contact our congressman and say, this is what we want.
And also ask for a hearing on the House side as well on this.
Well, I was going to ask, so there's been two hearings on the Senate side. Why has there been no, it's interesting, the Republicans are so big on defense, every person you've quoted, you said Senator Feinstein,
That's very interesting, isn't it?
Right. I didn't hear any Republican names. I heard Blumenthal, Feinstein, and Warren, but I didn't hear any Republican names. And so that was kind of odd, because this doesn't sound like a partisan issue. This sounds like an easy one.
It's a bipartisan issue, right?
Right.
So I will say Representative Thornberry in Texas,
right,
his staff has been fabulous. And they, said, you just got to push people to ask for a hearing. I mean, he's like, that's what we want, but we're, it's Adam Smith up here in Washington who's running the House Armed Services Committee.
Right, the Democrats.
Right, and so, but also Jimmy Panetta out of California, Monterey, fabulous. They are completely eyes on this issue right now.
Any relation to Leon Panetta?
Yeah, his son.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
So why hasn't there been a hearing in the House?
I don't know. I just really think that the scope of this is not known yet. I don't think that they know about all of these issues. How encompassing it is, from people living in, squalor to mass corruption and, fraud. It's fraud is what's going on.
Yeah, but if I was Adam Smith and I watched the hearing on Valentine's Day, I think in relatively short order, I would have my own hearing.
Well, right. I've called his office, and they've given me some, I get a low-level staffer who has no idea what the hell I'm talking about. And even though I say, at one point, they just redistricted, but JBLM, where I live, was a part of his district at one point. I get low-level staffers who act like they have no clue what the hell I'm talking about, and I'm sure they don't. So Adam Smith out there, call me. Any of your listeners who are constituents, please call him.
But you would think if he's the chair of the House Armed Service Committee, right, and you're calling him about a military issue, and even the low-level staffers would have an idea about this issue.
No, they have no idea. No idea.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, none whatsoever. I finally got through to, I was put through to someone who was, in charge of his housing, I guess, there. I don't know. Work, I don't know. Whatever. So this guy, he was super nice, pretty helpful. And he just said, I'm going to, send you to, who's your congressman? I was like, that's not what I'm asking for. I know who my congressman is. I know, as a resident of Texas, who my congressman is. I need you to look at what's going on here in your area. And not even in your area. Jimmy Panetta, guess what? He's not even on the House, but he's looking at this as, wow, this is a massive issue. You want to support the troops? This is how you do it. Don't put a stupid sticker on the back of your car. Call your congressman and demand that, military children don't get sick in this house that they're looking in. Because at the end of the day, we all know that the military, can be said that's the family business. Well, my son won't have the opportunity to be a third-generation Green Beret because he has asthma. That affects retention. That affects readiness. You think my husband wasn't stressed out knowing that I'm bitching and moaning about my house? Well, he's gone.
It's just again, listening to it, it's just so hard to believe, Lee, that it's so screwed up, and it's so bad. And as you say, I mean, because you hear words like this, and then you hear fraud and corruption, I layer on top of that, this is an old problem that people have been screaming about, and it's been ignored. And again, the frustrating part is if you look at the DOD's record in terms of taking care of people that they've made sick, it's abysmal. What they routinely do is turn their backs on people. That's what they do. All right, my guest is Lee Tuttle. Lee, you've been very gracious with your time. Is there anything that I haven't been smart enough to ask you before we end here today? And again, as I said, you'll be back again. But anything that I haven't been smart enough to ask you?
I think this has been a great conversation, but again, I could talk for hours about it. This issue is like unraveling a sweater, right? That's just the more layers you see, the politicians getting paid to get these contracts, and we can get into that another day. But yeah, at this point, if anyone's out there listening, just like, and who cares, just call your congressman, call your senators, reach out to me. Anyone who has a home inspection business that, you know, would want to do some pro bono for military families on bases, like anything like that is what we need. Anyone who does air quality testing, who would love to, you know, help even just, you know, three families, like that's what we need, because these things are expensive and lower enlisted can't pay for them. And a lot of times the only way that they can get out of these leases is if you can prove that there's some major issue in your house. So I think, you know, anyone who is willing to help in that sense would be, you know, really, we'd be really thankful for.
All right. Tell everybody how you spell your name.
L-E-I-G-H. And the last name is Tuttle. T like tango. U-T-T-L-E.
All right. And you can find her on Facebook and on Twitter. Is there any place else they can find you?
You can find her on Instagram. It's Lee Nicole T on Instagram.
All right. But the bottom line is, contact your congressman and say that you want your congressman to push to get these contracts released, that these contracts need to see the light of day so there can be a determination about who's culpable in all this. And
correct.
we need the truth to get out there before we can begin to fashion a remedy.
Correct. And as Senator Blumenthal, you know, pointed out in that hearing yesterday, there should be a DOJ investigation. I think I would like to push for that as well.
It's astounding. All right. My guest for the last hour has been Lee Tuttle. She is a wife of a U.S. Army Green Beret. Lee, first of all, I just want to compliment you on your courage, because it doesn't take any small amount of courage to step out of a group and for your husband to say, yeah, I support this at the risk of his career. But you know what? At the end of the day, right is right. And if you can't stand up and tell the truth and you can't stand up and do what's right, then I don't get that. I don't get that one bit. And to me, the whole issue of the non-disclosure agreements, that I can't tell the truth about how this has happened, and I work for the government? Are you kidding me? So I just want to compliment you and everybody who's part of doing this, because it's awful. It's awful. I want to wish you all the best of luck, and just know that you can come on All Marine Radio anytime. You have my phone number. All you got to do is shoot me a message, and you're welcome anytime for as long as you want.
I really, really appreciate that, and thank you for having me on, and thank you for taking an interest in this and really giving, you know, military families a voice. So thank you.
No, my son, my daughter-in-law, and my grandson live in military housing in Quantico. So, so again, I'm invested, and they're headed for Fort Benning. So, and I wrote about that place. So, anyhow, we'll take a break. More Bomberman Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.